Good evening. Let's begin our meeting by singing hymn number 465. Dear Shepherd, you are love divine. You meet my every need. Where fields are green and waters still, I rest, I drink, I feed. Hymn 465.
Shepherd, you are love divine, you meet my every need. Where fields are green and waters still, I rest, I drink, I feed. Your love restores my thirsty soul and leads me from the wild to walk in ways of truth and life as your beloved child. And even when the shade of death suggests that we can part, no fear here, your strength and guidance ever near, bring comfort to my heart. Your goodness spreads before my eyes, your enemy you know. Your oil is poured upon my head, my cup it overflows. Your grace and mercy every day bring blessings from above. I'm living in the house of God, the consciousness of love.
I will begin with readings from the Bible. Jeremiah. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. 2 Kings. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Psalms. I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever, because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up mine hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. John. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he said this to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Malachi. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. John. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Psalms. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and as his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Matthew. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Deuteronomy. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Philippians, New Living Translation. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. I'll now read passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. To those leaning on the sustaining infinite, today is big with blessings. Love prepareth a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Love anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The term science, properly understood, refers only to the laws of God and to his government of the universe, inclusive of man. From this it follows that businessmen and cultured scholars have found that Christian Science enhances their endurance and mental powers, enlarges their perception of character, gives them acuteness and comprehensiveness, and an ability to exceed their ordinary capacity. The human mind, imbued with this spiritual understanding, becomes more elastic, is capable of greater endurance, escapes somewhat from itself, and requires less repose. A knowledge of the science of being develops the latent abilities and possibilities of man. It extends the atmosphere of thought, giving mortals access to broader and higher realms. It raises the thinker into his native air of insight and perspicacity. definition of oil, consecration, charity, gentleness, prayer, heavenly inspiration. In the wilderness, streams flowed from the rock and manna fell from the sky. At all times and under all circumstances, overcome evil with good. Know thyself, and God will supply the wisdom and the occasion for a victory over evil. Clad in the panoply of love, human hatred cannot reach you. The cement of a higher humanity will unite all interests in the one divinity. To obey the divine order and trust God saves retracing and traversing anew the path from sin to holiness. If you are too material to love the science of mind and are satisfied with good words instead of effects, if you adhere to error and are afraid to trust truth, the question then recurs, Adam, where art thou? If we trust matter, we distrust spirit. Convinced of the fruitlessness of their toil in the dark, and wakened by their master's voice, they changed their methods, turned away from material things, and cast their net on the right side, discerning Christ, truth, anew on the shore of time. They were enabled to rise somewhat from mortal sensuousness or the burial of mind in matter into newness of life as spirit. Willpower is capable of all evil. It can never heal the sick, for it is the prayer of the unrighteous, while the exercise of the sentiments, hope, faith, love, is the prayer of the righteous. This prayer, governed by science instead of the senses, heals the sick. In the scientific relation of God to man, we find that whatever blesses one blesses all, as Jesus showed with the loaves and the fishes, spirit, not matter, being the source of supply. It is not well to imagine that Jesus demonstrated the divine power to heal only for a select number or for a limited period of time, since to all mankind and in every hour, divine love supplies all good. The miracle of grace is no miracle to love. Jesus demonstrated the inability of corporeality as well as the infinite ability of spirit, thus helping erring human sense to flee from its own convictions and seek safety in divine science. Reason, rightly directed, serves to correct the errors of corporeal sense, but sin, sickness, and death will seem real, even as the experiences of the sleeping dream seem real, until the science of man's eternal harmony breaks their illusion with the unbroken reality of scientific being. God is not influenced by man. The divine ear is not an auditory nerve. It is the all-hearing and all-knowing mind to whom each need of man is always known and by whom it will be supplied. In order to apprehend more, we must put into practice what we already know. We must recollect that truth is demonstrable when understood, and that good is not understood until demonstrated. If faithful over a few things, we shall be made rulers over many. But the one unused talent decays and is lost. When the sick or sinning awake to realize their need of what they have not, They will be receptive of divine science, which gravitates towards soul and away from material sense, removes thought from the body, and elevates even mortal mind to the contemplation of something better than disease or sin. The true idea of God gives the true understanding of life and love, robs the grave of victory, takes away all sin and the delusion that there are other minds, and destroys mortality. The calm, strong currents of true spirituality, the manifestations of which are health, purity, and self-immolation, must deepen human experience until the beliefs of material existence are seen to be a bald imposition, and sin, disease, and death give everlasting place to the scientific demonstration of divine spirit and to God's spiritual, perfect man. We'll now take a moment to pray together silently, and then we'll repeat aloud together the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We'll continue our meeting by singing hymn 71. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? By salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayst smile at all thy foes. Hymn 71.
Things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what then shake thy sure repose? By salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayest smile at all thy foes. Round each habitation of ring, see the cloud and fire appear, for a glory and a covering, showing that the Lord is near. First arriving from the banner, light by night and shade by day, save the feet upon the manna which he gives them when they pray. See the streams of living water springing from eternal love, well supply thy sons and daughters, and all fear of want remove. Who can faint while such a river ever shall their thirst assuage? Grace by like the Lord the giver never fails from age to age.
Welcome to First Church of Christ Scientist Madison. This church is a branch of the Mother Church in Boston, founded by Mary Baker Eddy. We have services every Sunday at 10 a.m. At the same time, there is a Sunday school for kids up to the age of 20. And then obviously we have these Wednesday evening meetings at 7:30. We have a public reading room that is open, I think, every day of the week now. The hours are on the website. Just a couple of timely announcements. You are invited to attend an inspiring talk this Sunday titled From the Seed to the Sowing, the Story of Christian Science Nursing, to be given at our church at 2 p.m. Christian Science Nursing exists in the hearts and minds of students of Christian Science. This talk highlights the importance of supporting Christian Science Nursing as an essential part of Mrs. Eddy's revelation of church. So please join us again, that's Sunday at 2. And then for members, this coming Tuesday, June 16th at 7 p.m., we're gonna be holding an election meeting over Zoom to elect a board member. So please, thank you for your attention to that. At this time, the meeting is open to you for sharing of testimonies, remarks, and other comments related to Christian Science. If you are in the auditorium, either stand or raise your hand and Simbri will bring you the microphone. If you are joining us remotely on Zoom via computer, unmute yourself and wait a moment. Eli will let you know when it's okay to begin speaking. If you're joining on Zoom via telephone, I think you press *9 to unmute yourself. So with that, the floor is open to all of you.
Thank you very much for those inspiring readings. I was thinking about some of the parallels of some of the examples that you read. The three that come to mind were the woman in the one pot of oil and feeding the multitudes, and the disciples who were fishing. And in each of those cases, the people benefited were listening carefully to what was being said. They obeyed all the instructions that were given them, whether it was how you distribute the food or how you pour the pots of oil, whatever. And then they also followed through. They didn't just fill half a pot or whatever. They completely followed through with the instructions they'd be given and what they'd heard. And so I think as we receive inspiration, whether it's from church or music, that we not only listen, but follow the instructions and then follow through as well for healing to happen. Also, you had the story of the virgins, those who had trimmed their lamps and those who hadn't, and that particular story was featured in the annual meeting of the Mother Church. It was all about light shining, and the key there is to support the light and to be a shining light, to heal, to be inspired, to demonstrate. And I also wanted to shout out about the annual meeting. It's very refreshing to see all kinds of examples of healing and churches doing dynamic things and just not being stoic or steady and just reaching out, doing innovations and so on that were healing and benefiting a lot of people, not just in the U.S., but all over the world. So I enjoyed that meeting via Zoom on Monday. Thanks for your readings.
Thank you.
Your readings were so clear, so thank you for those. This testimony is a bit silly, but it proves that the human mind cannot be trusted. I generally walk on one of three routes, one in a park and two on the streets of my neighborhood. And one of these walks is quite a bit longer than the other one, so I take that one when I'm feeling energetic, and I take the shorter one when I'm not quite feeling up to par. So a few days ago, I discovered that on my very old iPod, I had a fitness tracker. And I've had this thing long before the days of Fitbits or whatever you guys use in the modern days. And so I measured the walk, the long walk. It measured the steps and the mileage. But yesterday, the humidity was getting to me, so I decided to take the shorter walk. And when I got home, the tracker told me that these walks were virtually the same length. So for 25 years that I've been taking these two walks, the body has responded to this false belief that one was longer than the other. You know, I felt it in my body. I was sure of it. You know, how could this be that these walks were the same length? And then I had the rather ridiculous thought that, well, if that false belief served me for 25 years, maybe I should just take the shorter walk when I'm not feeling well. And then, you know, of course, that led to a more serious thought of maybe, you know, correcting these false beliefs is not so simple as presenting ourselves with physical evidence. Just the fact that I had that thought, well, maybe I should just continue to take that short one because I think it's easier. And so I thought, you know, there has to be more than the physical evidence. There has to be a real spiritual understanding behind these impositions on our thought. I've been listening to a lot of talks by the practitioner Marjorie Dagnall. She didn't give lectures, but she gave lots and lots of talks in nursing facilities. That was really her specialty. And in a recent talk that I listened to, she said that radical reliance is not whether you go to the hospital, but when do you go to the grocery store. And I just think that is so profound. So I asked myself regarding this really everyday experience of walking, what would radical reliance look like? And it would mean no human calculations, no checking this exercise tracker, no preferences, no willfulness. It would mean simply asking God every time, where do I walk? How long do I walk? When do I walk? You know, just really simple, moment by moment, trust that God always gives us the best answer.
Thank you.
I too wanted to express my gratitude for the annual meeting. A number of us gathered here in the church, and there was such just a feeling of unity and support and joy, and a wonderful sense of our all being the light of the world and needing to put our light on a hill. And I was just so grateful for the many, healings that were shared. I think so often we wonder, well, can we still do what Jesus did? How long do we have to wait? Is, you know, this science that Mrs. Eddy has given us as effective as it was in Jesus's time and in her time and in our time? And certainly there was so much affirmation and wonderful examples of applying those wonderful Bible teachings to our everyday lives, and how exactly those kinds of healings are still taking place today. And attention was called again to the recently published book of healings called Continuing Evidence of Christ Healing, that was which is available in the reading room. I also was really blessed by listening to the replay of the hymn sing that was held the day before the annual meeting, which focused on so many of the hymns that include discussions of God's light and our responsibility to shine out. And I just really found it very uplifting. And even though, you know, we weren't there in person, it's just so wonderful to have these replays available on the Mother Church, on the First Church's website under annual meeting. But I also, last night, some of you know I participate in Madeline Maupin's Bible studies, and right now it's focused on Psalms. And you read some wonderful Psalms tonight, and it just really opened my eyes to how important the Psalms are, how they're structured, their authorship, how they're organized, the types, the themes, the uniqueness in Scripture that they bring as poetry, that really they are organized as five different songbooks. And at the beginning and at the end of each songbook is a doxology. And really looking at and reading them in those different ways is interesting. And apparently they were arranged in five books because the Torah that Moses, you know, gave are five books of the Bible. And there was one other thing that I just, well, that they really can be a model for our prayers. They're often structured by beginning with, "Oh Lord," and then describing the distress that the people are in or the individual is in, and then petitioning God for help, and then ending by praising God. Almost each little verse is that way. So they'll start out like, you know, "How long can I, you know, endure?" Or "Don't, you know, be far off or hiding," or whatever. And then the complaint comes, the distress or whatever it is. And then it turns from complaint to remembrance, and affirmation of and praising of God. And so there is this move from, you know, helplessness to conviction. And I was really just delighted to learn all of these new things about the Psalms. And I couldn't believe how much was packed into to 1 hour, and how encouraging it was, has been, to go back and read the songs or Psalms. So just thought I'd share some of those thoughts. Thanks very much for your readings.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to share a healing that I had some weeks ago. I was having supper with one of my sons and his family, and we were out to eat in a restaurant, and for some reason the subject came up about allergies and pollen, and, you know, how there was so much of it outside right now, and the different symptoms that come up with this kind of thing. And I just sort of kept my mouth shut and didn't really contribute to the conversation. But as the evening wore on, I began to notice that I had some rather strange symptoms. And I thought to myself, oh boy, did I just take that all in? And as I got home, the symptoms became a little bit worse. And I decided it was time to just go to bed. And so when I woke the next morning, things were not any better. In fact, they were worse. And I pretty much spent a day just being by myself and not doing much of anything and spending some time in bed and some sleeping and that kind of thing, until I just kind of awoke and realized, well, that's ridiculous. Here I was just perfectly well, and we had this conversation, and all of a sudden I was exhibiting the symptoms that were discussed at the table. And so I just tried to kind of get a hold of myself and just sort of begin to defute some of these suggestions, because I knew that they didn't come from divine love, from divine mind, from God, because he is not the source of anything that is destructive or anything that can be other than harmony. And so I just stayed with prayer as much as I could. And I had read an article recently that had a question, and it was, it said, "Don't ask the question, why am I not getting this healing? Ask the question, why is the healing inevitable?" And I thought, well, okay, I know I'm going to be healed. And I just kept on knowing that I could not be a victim of a false belief about nature and about weather and about anything that could possibly enter and be inharmonious in my experience or anyone's, and because God never made it. and he only made what is good and useful and indestructible. And so I just stayed with that, and the next morning when I awoke, I was so much better, and as the day wore on, I got completely back to normal, and haven't had any of those symptoms since. And so I'm just really grateful for that healing, and that it was quick, and it proved that I didn't need to experience anything that didn't come from God, from divine love. And so just so grateful for that and for all the healings that I've had through my life and for my family and the fact that I've been a lifelong Christian Scientist and have been able to use these practical truths whenever I need to have healing experiences. And it has proven true for myself and for my family members as well. So grateful, and thank you for the wonderful lesson tonight. And I too am grateful for the annual meeting the other day. And it's always such a wonderful feeling to feel like we're part of a worldwide movement and to see our fellow man in the church in Boston, and just to feel a part of that. So thank you.
Thank you.
I was working this afternoon when I received a message on my cell phone that it was a warning of 80 miles per hour winds, with the advice that we move on, I move on to a secure place. And because I live in rather small quarters in the warm season, I work in a little shack in the backyard, which is no solid structure at all. So I moved into the house, and I was wondering, should I do this? Shouldn't I just trust God? But I remembered, well, it's for the stronger, it's for the strongest in faith to take some risks. I'm not sure about my faith at this point yet. So I did move it into the house, and I was praying for the safety of everybody. And I was witnessing in my soul to God's goodness and God's protection. And I thought that that perhaps everybody in this community was also praying. and I felt a connection. And I felt a peace and a joy that God was with us and that we will be preserved. The storm will go over with no harm to anybody. And I drove later in the day, and I saw that the wind had dislodged some leaves and branches from the trees. I hope if anything, not I don't know what the news are, but or it, anyway, I feel grateful. Thank you, God.
Thank you for sharing.
I've had plenty of times to trust God in situations where there didn't seem to be any other answer, kind of those big things where maybe my pot of oil wasn't empty, but the soup pot didn't have much in it, or I wasn't fishing, but my employment didn't seem to be realizing the kind of results that I would hope for. But I realized, I guess it was yesterday, that and I probably knew this already, how lazy I'd gotten about trusting God with just the little everyday things. And I had a few wonderful things that transpired right after that. The thing that brought it to my attention was I realized I was noticing some bodily issues and saying, okay, is this starting a pattern? And I thought, wait a minute. Air is nothing. It can't make a pattern out of, you can't make a pattern out of nothing. And that word pattern stuck in my mind, and suddenly I thought of the phrase pattern of the mount. And I knew I'd heard that, and I went right to my bookshelf and pulled out this little folder of pamphlets that had been published way back when by the Christian Science Publishing Society. And I pulled out one. And the first article that I turned to was one that was just perfect to share with a friend who just needed to hear what was in there. It was also really good for me. And then I also found the actual article titled The Pattern of the Mount that was written by a very early worker in the Christian Science movement. I think she may have been one of Mrs. Eddy's students. And that one was something that I needed to hear, too. And then today, just some things I was grateful for that I didn't initiate. a phone call that I was supposed to return. The person called me back, and so I didn't have to wait in line or find out that that person wasn't there and try again. And that was all very harmonious. And then, I was able to, wanted to touch bases with a dear friend and relative who's sometimes very hard to catch when she can answer the phone, and made a call and she picked up and we had a lovely little chat. But those are the things that we can be grateful for and recognize that it's part of God's order of the universe, and it doesn't have to be a super big thing for God to be in charge and be doing his job. So I was just really grateful for those examples.
Thank you. Last call. I think we have time for one more if anyone else wants to share.
Well, I have something short. I appreciated your readings as well tonight, and what struck me about them was the concept of amplitude, which is a word that's used in our final hymn, and that God's supply is never just enough. It's more than enough. It's running over. It's not just sufficient, it's extra, and there's more than enough. And I love that concept, and the only thing that ever limits that experience is our own thought, and that was the healing in each of the cases, was the human concept of not enough had to be changed. And when that was changed, God's amplitude was absolutely on display in wondrous ways. And so I'm grateful for that reminder and the reminder of all the amplitude in my life and those good, inspiring thoughts that just come to each of us and help lift the sense of limit that would keep us from seeing God's blessings and care for us. So thank you again for those readings.
Thank you. I think we'll close this meeting with our final hymn, hymn 342. This is the day the Lord hath made. Be glad, give thanks, rejoice. Stand in his presence unafraid. In praise lift up your voice. All perfect gifts are from above, and all our blessings show the amplitude of God's dear love, which every heart may know. Hymn 342.
Good things.
blessings are freely given to all who on his word rely. All come today to bring him praise, not for such gifts alone, but for the higher, deeper ways in which his love is shown. For sin destroyed, for sorrow healed, for health and peace restored, for life and love by truth revealed, we thank and bless the Lord. This is the day the Lord hath made, in praise lift up your voice. In shining robes of joy arrayed, be glad, give thanks, rejoice.
Thank you all. Good night.